Blog Talk Radio.
Blessed souls, the gates of mercy are open eternally. The question remains, will we access those eternal gates of mercy? Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're live because at this most existential of eternal moments, paradoxically configured to the most humane of mundane experiences, mainly the faculty of human speech. We're alive because we're connected to Torah Chaim, instructions of life, eternal Torah Chaim, Torah Chesed, eternal Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim, eternal instructions of mercies. You're now tuned into Blog Talk Radio, and we humbly assert we are the higher inner frequency of Blog Talk Radio. We call ourselves Soul Class. This is Soul Class 703. A time for attributes of mercy to be revealed. Baruch Hashem, blessed is our eternal creator, shalom, peace, and bracha blessing upon the entire human family experience. All 7.6 billion human beings striving to be human by accessing consciously and subconsciously their divine image. Program content will address the time period we're living in and connect it to chapter 27 composed by King David, sweet singer of Israel, to invigorate our efforts to strengthen our connection to Creator and to connect in mutually inclusive manners with others being human, with emphasis to upgrade dignity, actualization via eternal Torah teachings. Meanwhile, may the eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones in a pleasant and peaceful manner. Our call-in number, if you're about to leave your computer, will be and is 347-838-8669. The program tags for today's humble efforts are Eternal Creator, Divine Image, Universal Redemption, Children of Israel, and Children of Noah, collaborating to usher in the Messianic era whereby there will be no more hatred, jealousy, and competition. Psalms 27, King David, Hasidus, Kabbalah, oral and written traditions of Torah, resurrection of the dead, physically, spiritually, intellectually, emotionally. And we're listening to some pineal gland music. We're going to turn it down. And that was brought out by the YouTube channel of Good Vibes Binaural Beats. Let's just turn down that music and then we can get on with the show. Thank you very much, GVBB. Okay, blessed souls, we're dedicating tonight's program to the elevation of soul of my dear father, Rav Shlomo Yaakov. May he rest in peace, son of Chuna David. May he rest in peace, his father, my paternal grandfather. L'havdil ben chayim l'chayim, to distinguish between one level of life and the other, the life that's in this world, so dedicated to the refuah shlema of Rivka Chaya Fortuna, Techiya Bas Sar Elia Shalom, may he rest in peace. Or Matab Bas Bela, Pesya Techiya Bas Esther Elia Shalom, may she rest in peace, my grandmother, my paternal grandmother. That's dedicated to my aunt, my father's sister, the youngest of three siblings. For her slightly older brother, the second of three children from my grandparents, the Goodmans. Reb Mecho Yosef Shiyichia Ben Esther Aleh Shalom. My uncle be fortified physically and spiritually, emotionally, cognitively. As well for Yaakov Shiyichia Ben Miriam. As well as for Mila Techia Bazina Techia, a co-worker of mine, a good friend, and someone who is also in need of physical and spiritual healings. Blessed souls, I'd like to start off today's humble presentation with a prayer, which we of Israel recite every day in the morning. And it goes like this: Lord, or Creator of the universe, who reigned before anything was created, at the time when by his will all things were made, then was his name proclaimed King. And after all things shall cease to be, the Awesome One will reign alone. He was, he is, and he shall be in glory. He is one, and there is no other to compare to him, to consort with him. Without beginning, without end, power and dominion belong to him. He is my God and my ever-living Redeemer, the strength of my lot in time of distress. He is my banner and my refuge, my portion on the day I call. Into his hand I entrust my spirit, when I sleep and when I awake, and with my soul, my body too. The Lord is with me, I shall not fear. Blessed souls, I wanted to connect the Psalm of King David, chapter 27, the sweet sing of Israel, with the time period that we're living in from a Jewish law perspective. We happen to be now on the cusp of the ninth day of Elul. The month of Elul is known as Chodesh HaRachmim, the month of mercies, because it is the month which precedes the Hebrew calendar new year, known as Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, and ascends up to the Day of Atonement, which is known as Yom Kippur. From the 128th chapter in the condensed book of Jewish law, known as the Kitzas Shulchan Aruch, in the first law, I'd like to share with you a teaching which has universal application, and therefore there's universal implementation available to the entire human family experience. And I mean, as I mentioned at the beginning of today's program, all 7.6 billion human beings, because everyone's blessed with a divine image. And I want to remind everyone, this is Anti-Eugenics Radio. So the period from Rosh Chodesh Elul, which started 9 days ago, until Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is one of days of will. The Holy One, blessed be He, accepts the repentance of those who return to Him with a full heart throughout the entire year. Nevertheless, these days are most select by their very nature and appropriate for returning. The world would call it repentance. We call it Teshuvah, we of Israel, because they are days of mercy, rachamim, and will, ratzon. From a historical standpoint, our mighty Levite prophet Moses, Moshe Rabbeinu, over 3,330 years ago, ascended 9 days ago. He ascended once again Mount Sinai to receive the second pair of tablets and spent an additional 40 days there, finally returning on the 10th of Tishrei, which represented the final phase of Kapara, of atonement, for the sin of the golden calf that the Israelites transgressed. From that time onward, so therefore for the last 3,300 plus years, these days, because atonement was attained by the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and all of these days now, say 9 days into the, almost 9 days into the month of Elul, 3,330 years later, these days are days of will, and the 10th of Tishrei again has been established as the Day of Atonement. Our rabbis also have noted that there are verses which can be derived out of the Hebrew month of Elul, which is spelled Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed, or I guess E-L-L-U-L, From the book of Deuteronomy, there's a verse which relates to this, the acronyms of the Aleph Lamed, Vav Lamed, but I'm going to say it in English. Chapter 30, verse 6 in Deuteronomy, and God your Lord will circumcise your heart and the hearts of your descendants. In the Song of Songs, another acronym which can be learned out from the Aleph Lamed, Vav and Lamed, is I am my beloved, and my beloved is me. In other words, as Ani Ladodi Ladodi Li. In the book of Esther, there was an enactment implemented, as mentioned in the book of Esther, chapter 9, verse 22, sending gifts from a person to his friend and giving presents to the poor. Thus, these three verses, our rabbis have taught us, are hinting to three services of serving Creator. Number one, return or repentance, prayer and charity or tzedakah, which should be eagerly performed in this month. And Creator will circumcise, as mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, is hinting to the service of repentance, of teshuvah, of return. I am my beloved, alludes to the service of prayer, which again is mentioned in Song of Songs chapter 6, verse 3, and sending gifts, which was hinted to in Esther 9:22, was directed from the book of Esther chapter 9, verse 22, is hinting to the service of charity. Now, it is also customary to read two times a day Chapter 27 of King David, the prophetic Israelite king, composer of many songs. Some say in the morning, after past the midpoint of prayer in the morning, and then at the conclusion of the afternoon prayer, and some say in the morning, as mentioned, I just mentioned, and in the evening prayer at the end of the evening prayer. So now let's go look at chapter 27, Blessed Souls, from King David's Psalms. And we have about 47 minutes. I'll probably go about 35 of them because I have to go and pray their evening service with a congregation at the famous Frankel Shul here in Keswick Crown Heights, here on Turtle Island, a.k.a. USA Unified Soul Actualization. So let's go and see what we can accomplish. And maybe I don't think we're going to cover this. There's basically is a little more than 11. There are 14 verses. I don't think we're going to cover all 14 verses, but whatever we cover, hopefully this will invigorate anyone listening, wherever you are in the world. And we give thanks and praise to the Creator that we are gaining more and more of an international audience with each week and each month and each year. I mean, this is our 7th and 3rd broadcast. Thank, blessed be the Most High, and this is, we're now into our beginning of our 9th year of broadcasting. So here we go. I guess I'll read it in Hebrew and then we'll translate it. Le David, Adonoi Ori Veyishi Mimi Iro, Adonoi Mo'oz Chayai Mimi Efchod. Of David, Creator Hashem is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? If there is fear, blessed souls, then there's some sort of stress or distress. Famous commentator, rabbinical commentator, Rav David Kempke, that if a person is distressed, it's like they're in darkness. Well, David wants us to know that having salvation is having light dispersing, driving away the distress. Creator is the ultimate source of all forms of illumination. And that illumination is revealed through Creator's word, which was revealed to the ancients even before Moses, to Adam, to Shes, to Hanoch, to Methuselah, to Noah, to Shem, and Shem's descendants, and there were many of the other children of Noah who interacted and were righteous among them. And people should understand that there have always been a transmission of godly teachings. The modern mind, the westernized mind, the enlightened mind has had the shades pulled over their eyes to the true historical content of godly teachings transmitted, not originally from the Israelites, but as a spiritual bequeathment, which was fully actualized at Mount Sinai over 3,330 years ago. So we have a Midrash, blessed souls, that mentions that concerning the verse that we started with. And by the way, I only read one half of, I think, of verse 1. Let me go back and read it fully in English. Of David, of Hashem, God is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Hashem, God, is the source of my life strength. With whom should I dread? I left out the second half of that English translation. I'm sorry about that. So, David, as brought down by the Midrash Shachar Tov, which is a teaching of Ruach HaKodesh, of divine inspiration, encapsulates a perception that David had that when he began to study Torah, he grasped only a small amount. But when you grasp a small amount of Torah, blessed souls, gradually the wellspring of understanding starts to flow like the light of a lamp, which in and of itself can be quite limited in its size and intensity. However, when one reaches the level, the awareness of totally immersing oneself in learning Torah, many great gateways are opened wide before oneself. Creator will provide light in direct proportion to a person's desire and striving for it. From another perspective, where we see at the beginning of the verse, Hashem Ori, God is my light, there is before a person, a human being, a man or a woman, two general pathways. There is the way of life and the way of goodness, and there's a way that's opposite. And to learn more about the way of life and goodness, please go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 15. Therefore, if a person is afforded, first of all, the unadulterated merit of being alive and being able to be assisted to choose a path of life and a path of goodness, he or she must be being assisted at some level from above, from the heavenly powers, from the ultimate one source of all, Creator, who spoke when the world came into being, who will illuminate for him or her, his or her way, to distinguish what is the good way. And this is what the verse is alluding to at the very beginning of chapter 27, excuse me. Hashem Ori, God is my light, that the Creator will illuminate for the person which is the way of good life and the way of goodness. As the verse continues, Creator is my deliverance. Now, let's say a person already knows what is the way which is proper for him or to live. It doesn't mean they will be exempted from tests and stumbling blocks. Just the opposite. Our sages have taught us from the oral Torah tradition, the Talmudic tractate of Sukkah, on the 52nd page, Daf Nun Beis, Sof Amar Aleph, the end of the first side, because each page of the tractate in the Talmud, there's a side A and a side B, so to speak. Amud Aleph is side A and Amud Beis is the second side. So in the oral Torah tradition of how to keep the biblically mandated commandment of Sukkot, sitting in the Sukkah and all the mitzvahs are connected with that, that every day the inclination of a person will try to overpower him or her. And therefore, each one of us needs assistance from above, from Creator, and Creator's many emissaries, the angels, people who act angelically towards us. But not just a shimmering to light up one's way, but rather there needs to be a type of deliverance in a way that is so particularized, one must be able to identify that Creator is the source of my deliverance. And that is the only way, blessed souls, that we can conquer in the battle with our own corporeal animalistic tendencies, to be able to overcome any type of stumbling blocks and to stand before all forms of tests that may come across us as we live every day of our life. Where David asserts that Creator, God, Hashem, is the source of my life strength, the completeness of a person's service towards Creator and fellowshipping with a human being, him or her, in his or her world, is not sufficient whatever they've already accomplished. The testimony of a person, as King David taught us, is that Creator is the source of my life strength, is that we proceed to go from strength to strength, from a state of goodness to a state of even greater goodness. Not just from a state of living, blessed souls, but a life where there is a tremendous vitality within our attitudes, within our speech, within our actions. Creator gives us the strength and the vitality where we can testify, as King David instructed us, that Creator is the source, the strength of my life, that we should be able to go from strength to strength. And that's a teaching from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Now the Malbim, who was another great commentator, who lived in the 19th century. I don't remember if he made it to the 20th century. I don't remember the time period where he went to the next level of life. Well, he comments on, Creator is the strength of my life, from who should I be have dread of or fear? That since Hashem is the empowerment of my life, if so, of who should I be afraid of? And what the Malbim is referring to is that we're talking about something which is known, just as if a person has revealed enemies, not just theoretical enemies, blessed souls, but a person has real, tangible enemies on the border or in the district one lives or maybe in one's office environment or work field environment. King David said, who should I be afraid of? Well, that which is known, which can cause one fright. But pachad, dread, is, King David is telling us, not only should I will, because Creator is the source of my strength, as the Malbim elucidates, of those things which are not known to me, just like those who hate, but they are silent in expressing their evil or anger towards one, kind of like snakes in the grass. One day they will seek out the opportunity to pounce upon the innocent ones of creation. And King David said, even of these sources which can cause a person to incur a sense of dread, since Creator is the source of my life strength, of whom shall I dread? In the second verse, I'll read it in Hebrew and then we'll translate it. Bikrov olai meireim lechol et basari, sorai oyavai li hema choshlu v'nafalu. When evildoers approach me to devour my flesh, my tormentors and my foes against me, it is they who stumble and fall. And those who approach, the Radak wants us to understand, there can be actually a physical proximity of those evildoers to oneself. But David relies on his great faith that even when they come close to me, it is they who shall fall and they shall stumble. Again, not because of one's self-righteousness and perception of one's pristine spiritual level, but rather relying on that Creator is the source of one's strength. And who should I dread, even though when those evildoers come out in a revealed fashion to approach me? And the Midrash in Vayikra Rabbah, basically the Midrash teaching us from the elucidating from the oral Torah perspective of the third book of the Bible, Torah, in 21:2, says that this is referring to Goliath, as it was written in the book of Samuel, book number 1, chapter 17, verse 16, and the Philistine approached the Israelite camp early in the morning and in the evening, and so he stood firm for 40 days. And what is that which Goliath threatened or David with? In the book of Samuel 1, chapter 17, verse 44, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. Can you imagine this? He was physically a giant. He was actually a blood relation through his aunt and his great-grandmother, his great-grandmother being Ruth Moabitess, a Moabite. So we see here that David's enemy was actually from a distant relative, and yet he showed no trepidation. Again, from the Rambam, the Malbim, excuse me, that the idea of to eat my flesh, the intention was to eat my flesh, to say that they were looking forward to be for them some sort of benefit, good benefit, from the consumption of the flesh of King David. In the part of the sentence, my tormentors and my foes against me is they who stumble and fall. The Malbim again comments that their intention was to do evil to me because they are my ones who are tormenting me. They are my enemies. And they do this because of they're just absolute hatred of me. Absolute hatred that Goliath and the Philistines had toward the Israelites, and in particular, one who would stand up to this mighty giant, this leader of the rebellion against the tribes of Israel. But the Midrash goes on to continue to mention, commenting on this part of this second verse, it is they who stumble and fall. The Midrash wants us to know that even before Goliath fell down on his face, he already stumbled into a trap. There was a miracle which took place, which you don't get from the written Torah tradition, bless those, but from the oral Torah tradition, that a miracle manifests in the way that his feet sank into the ground beneath his feet, and he was immobilized. Therefore, the giant, if you read the scripture over there in the book of Samuel, the first book of Samuel, he called out to David, challenging to come into battle, because Goliath, because his feet sunk into the ground miraculously, could no longer chase his opponent. Continuing on with the third verse in the book of Psalms, chapter 27, this will read in Hebrew. Im tachana olai, machana lo ira, libi im takum alai, milchama bezos ani voteach. Though an army would besiege me, my heart would not fear, for through war would arise against me. In this I trust. The Midrash goes on to say, comment on that portion of the Psalms, chapter 27, verse 3, though an army would besiege and camp against me, my heart would not fear. Again, according to the Midrash, and commenting again for Rabbi David Kemchi, now that I have witnessed God's miraculous assistance against Goliath, I know that I need not fear anything, not even an army. We have to remember this, though. Goliath had challenged anyone from the nation of Israel, and not even the mighty King Saul had the gumption, not that he was a coward, but the spirit of Creator was not with him that he should go and challenge this mighty man Goliath. And therefore, King David, the humble shepherd, the youngest of seven sons of Jesse, Yishai, with the spirit of the Most High Creator, was able to stand up before the very powerful human being known as Goliath. Going on to verse 4, Ach sha'alti me'es Adonoi osa, avake shifti baves Adonoi ko yemei chayai lechazos benom Adonoi, lavakor behechalo. One thing I ask of Creator that I shall seek, that I shall dwell in the house of Creator all the days of my life, to behold the delight of Hashem, God, and to meditate in His sanctuary. Now this is a wondrous verse, blessed souls, with so many explanations. Because you know, blessed souls, there's not just the simple understanding. There is something known as the Pardes of Torah. Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod. Pshat is the simple understanding. Remez is that which the verse is hinting to. Drush are the homiletic teachings with many times, more likely than not, and ethical instruction. So the secret, the most inner dimension of the verse, the piece of scripture, to open our eyes to a new reality that simultaneously exists with the lower dimensions of Torah elaboration from the oral Torah and even in the written Torah manifestation. The Malbim wants us to know concerning this part of chapter 27, verse 4, one thing I asked of Creator. The Malbim wants us to know, David instructed us, a human being's desires are in a constant state of flux and change, ebb and flow. Each moment breeds new whims and fresh requests. I am not so. My experiences have shown that I have always limited myself to one request. In the part of the verse, from chapters 27, verse 4, the section of the fourth verse is, that I shall seek, the Malbim continues to instruct us. David was very consistent in what he was seeking, what he sought after. What he wanted in the past is what he wants now, what he will always desire in the future. He was addressing an unspoken desire of the human heart. But there are people, and sometimes it can apply to all of us, who ask for one thing with their lips while desiring something else in their heart. But David said, I only ask that which my heart yearns for. King David is requesting, save me from instability and the endless changes of the heart. May my heart beat with just one accord, that I should be meritorious. And this is an instruction for all human beings, that if one can ask for it, it can be bequeathed. That I should dwell in the house of Creator all the days of my life, to behold the delight of Creator and to meditate in his sanctuary. The Midrash on this verse wants us to know, when King David said, one thing that I've asked, the Creator responded in prophetic fashion. The one thing that you asked for, that you should dwell in my house, and then said to gaze upon the pleasantness of the Creator and to visit him in his chambers. It's explained in the Hasidic teachings. All King David wanted was one thing: to dwell in the house of Creator. And there are many particularities afterwards which branch out from that one particular point. Therefore, the essential point, the Nekuda Atzmi, that David, King David, requested, was based on one request. To dwell in the house of Creator is a general principle. But achashaalti, one thing that I ask, includes everything that came afterwards. Nevertheless, if we look back in relation to the beginning of this chapter 27, Creator is my light, Creator is my deliverance, Creator is the source of the strength, the beginning of this song, this words of praise to Creator, this was a particularity to say that the original principle and the foundation is to know and to recognize Creator is the source of our light and the source of our deliverance and the strength of our lives. And once we can internalize, blessed souls, that Creator is the light of our life, the source of deliverance for us, and the source of our strength, we can eventually come to this one thing that I asked for, to dwell in the house of the Creator. So these three matters: Creator is my light, Creator is my deliverance, one thing that I ask, and to gaze upon the pleasantness of the Creator, have a connection, a very unique connection, and are connected to the way of the service of returning. And in even more in particular, this special time we're living in, Chodesh Elul, the month of Elul, at this time we say this chapter, these words of praises, each and every day. But because of the multiplicity of concealments and the darkness that we have in this world, a person can come to the point where they forget about the truth. And the Rambam talks about this in his epic work, Mishneh Torah, in the Laws of Tshuva, the third chapter, the fourth law. It can happen that a person, heaven forbid, can forget the truth of Creator or their connection to Creator. And it can be, and it won't even be recognizable in the person that he or she has fallen. Certainly we of Israel have experienced this in a very bitter way for almost the last 2,000 years. There are many members of our people who have forgotten the fact that they're even Jews, Israelites. Or they reject the idea. They leave the nation. They leave the faith. They leave the connection. But it can be likened to as I recently heard a story that related to the 6th Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson Lubavitch, who lived from 1880 and went to the next level of life in 1950, that he sent out a shliach who went to various cities in America, and he went on to talk about the work of the 6th Rebbe in order to bring Jews back to their roots. And when he came back, this shliach, this emissary of the Friedrich Rebbe, the previous Rebbe, the Rebbe Rayatz, as he was also known as, he was asked to mention how did he talk to the Jews. And he mentioned how every Jew is likened to a letter in the Torah, the 600,000 letters. And there are some Jews whose their letters have been erased and removed from the Torah. And the Rebbe asked, the Friedrich Rebbe got very upset. He's like, no, that is not the approach. Because once a member of Israel is part of the nation of Israel, their letter in the Torah cannot be removed, erased. It can't disintegrate. But it can become covered with dust. So our job is to nearly blow off the dust to remove that impediment of the revelation of that letter. It was never removed. So we see that it's possible that even a member of the nation of Israel can forget his or her connection to the Creator, because their evil inclination, which every human being has, is causing him or her to run after the desires of this world. And even though that he or she know that they're separating themselves at that time from their connection to godliness, still, of that person who can justify their separation, we can still demand of them, what about the one thing that you can ask for? The one thing King David asked for, the one thing all of us should ask for, is to sit in the house of Creator all the days of our life, your life, my life, everyone's life, to arouse within himself or herself this desire to strengthen and to change in actuality, to become distanced from corporeal desires. Look, we need physical sustenance blessings. We need to interact with physicality. Ask anyone or watch a documentary of anyone who's doing life imprisonment, and one of the things that they'll mention is they miss the human component of interaction with human beings. They're locked up 23 hours out of a 24-hour day in their prison cell. They're not allowed to touch even anyone. And I'm not just talking about something on the deeper, intimate level, which is involved with intimacy. I'm talking about just the handshake, the hug, the kiss, the stroking of the brow, the patting on the back. They're deprived of even that type of stimulation. Now, we need that in the proper amounts, not to overindulge. But when we, to distance us from overindulgement, should be with the understanding that it should be our sole desire of one thing that I ask, to have it set in our mindset, in our emotions, in our soul, in our animal soul, our intellectual soul, that we want to have established our revealed consciousness to be in the house of Creator all the days of our lives. And even this is not sufficient. Because even if a person makes a absolute resolution, very strong one, to make changes, still it is possible that a person will remain in a state of just general desire. So the matter won't penetrate him or her into the particularities of the changes they have to make into their life. So therefore, a general request is not sufficient. Therefore, there has to be the particular request of one thing that I ask, that I want to look into at the pleasantness of Creator, which is afforded to us through the Torah and mitzvahs, and to visit in his chamber. Now, since we have no temple, since we have no sanctuary, we're talking about the visitations that we can make cognitively within our right, left, and back brain busted souls. Yes, this is something that is by identifying the teacher sees that the Holy of Holies is actually today, allegorically alluding to the ancient Holy of Holies, when the first and second temple stood, and the tabernacle stood. It is our right, left, and back brain. I just want to mention something now because I think we've covered enough. We've basically covered four verses. We could have gone deeper. We could have gone longer with elucidations. But I see we're starting to run a little bit low on time. I would like to share with you something also about the idea of mercies. Since the month of Elul is the month of mercy, as we mentioned before, a time of it's a propitious time for the divine will of Creator to be overly abundant in accepting those who want to repent or do tshuva, return to the Creator. We will mention every day, except on the Blessed Shabbat, the 13 attributes of mercy, which I'd like to share with you. Read them in Hebrew, and then I'll go back and translate into English. Adonoi, Adonoi, El Rachum Chanun, Erech Apayim V'Rav Chesed V'Emes, Notzer Chesed Olofim, Nosi Avon Fesha V'Chato V'Nake. Creator, Creator, God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in kindness and truth, preserver of kindness for thousands of generations, forgiver iniquity, willful sin and error, and who cleanses. These were the 13 attributes that were revealed to Moses after the sin of the golden calf. Can any human being assert that he or she can exude out these type of attributes? Most people are overly judgmental. I've been overly judgmental. If you're honest with yourself, those you're listening live or the archive version, you've probably been overly judgmental as well. But when you see that, when you learn about, we start to think about and meditate on the fact that we are in the month of mercy, which is connected ultimately to the 13 attributes of mercy. And I just share with you the 13 attributes of mercy, which you can see in the book of Exodus, and that was chapter 34, verse 6 and 7. Only a creator can make those assertions, blessed souls. So before we segue out, I'd like to share with you 16 very terse meditations that have been swimming in my mind for the last week or so based on songs I've heard from Israel, thinking about what's written in Ecclesiastes and Koheles, and just other things that I like to meditate upon. And then we'll segue it out today with today's program with a wonderful song by Menachem Herman, a wonderful musician who actually I merited that he should play at my wedding almost 28 years ago. So here are 16 points of meditation I'd like to share with you, blessed souls, before we close out today's humble effort. If the gates of wealth are closed, the gates of abundant mercies are open. If the gates of nature are closed, the gates of miracles enclosed in nature are continuously open. If the gates of premeditated murder are open, the gates of healing are opened as well, and how much more so, the gates of defense against premeditated murder are opened. If the gates of tears are opened, the gates of joyous laughter are opened. If the gates of embracing are closed, the gates for eventually re-embracing are opened. If the gates of war are opened, the gates of preventing war are opened. If the gates of unwarranted hatred are open, the gates of free-flowing love are opened. If the gates of silence are opened, the gates of how to respond to that silence are opened. If the gates of wisdom are opened, the gates of understanding are opened. If the gates of understanding are opened, the gates of knowledge are opened. If the gates of contemplation are opened, the gates of contemplation are opened. If the gates of human transcending knowledge are opened, the gates of human transcending corporeal desires are opened. If the gates of human transcendent desires are opened, the gates of human transcendent delights are opened. If the gates of divine inspiration are opened, Ruach HaKodesh, the gates of prophecy are open, Shari Nevuah. If the gates of the Mashiach, of the Messiah, are opened, the gates of Yamos HaMashiach are open, the days of the Messiah are opened. If the gates of the Yamos HaMashiach, the days of the Messiah, are opened, the gates of the Great Resurrection are opened. Techiyat HaMesim. To learn more about that, the Great Resurrection, one place you can learn more about it, blessed souls, is the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 19. May your dead come to life. May my corpses arise. Awake and shout for joy, you who rest in the dust. As I just mentioned a moment ago, we're going to conclude with a wonderful song by Menachem Herman called Knocking on Heaven's Door. And the way he presents it, I also want to be knocking on this heaven's door. He basically did a spin-off on the classic hit by Bob Dylan, a brother Yehudi. I just want to remind everyone that this is the month of Elul. We of Israel have a custom from now until Rosh Hashanah to wish everyone Kesiva or Kesima Tova Shana Masuka. May you be written and sealed in for a good and sweet year. And may this good sweet year be manifest in the way of Ahava Chad, one love, Goral Chad, one destiny Kolano for all of us, but Darchi Nom Darchi Shalom, in a pleasant and peaceful way. And this is your international local cyberspace Torah actor, Donzis Goodman, reminding each and every one of us and reminding myself, I've got to be good, you've got to be good, whether you be in Ghana, whether you be in the Ukraine, whether you be in California, whether you be in New Zealand, whether you be in South Korea, New Zealand, or any one of the 43-plus countries that are now listening in. That includes Cuba and Haiti and Jamaica, Bermuda, Bahamas, every country in South America aside from Guyana, Central America. We've all got to be good, because the Tevatov Lahetiv is the nature of the good to do good, and the Creator is the source of our goodness. So go ahead and make Creator's Day, make your day, make this world a better place to live. Let's just this is Menachem Herman, Knocking on Heaven's Door. Enjoy.
What Amuna means faith. What this Amuna music is all about, to bring inspiration.
rebellion in my heart.